we go.
What you hearing? What you hearing? Listen. It's what you hearing? Listen. It's what you hearing? Listen.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Extra, give it to ya. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. Extra, deliver to ya. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real.
Hello?
Yeah, I'd like to make a reservation for two.
I'm sorry, we are booked solid, and we can never accept reservations from you. Your name came up on our caller ID. You've been blacklisted, sir.
Is this because of that one incident, that one time?
It was actually the multiple incidents of you going in the ladies' room instead of the men's room.
I'm sorry, I identify as a lady. I'm sorry, as a man that uses ladies' rooms. And people are bigots, yeah.
I apologize. I'm sorry to feel that way, but I just can't have you back in the restaurant. I made multiple patrons uncomfortable.
Well, that's just what we do here at MMA and stuff at HalfGuarded.com, everybody. That's Matt and I, Mike. If he sounds a little different, that's because we're going to be running through this show in about half an hour. We recorded it last night, and it was about 2 hours and 45 minutes. For some reason, some unnamed individual who may or may not be a functioning moron didn't get the recording software right, and he only recorded himself. And while that is usually how I like to listen to shows, that's not how you guys like to listen to them. So we're going to redo the whole show. We're going to blast ahead. Matthew is driving back from work. I probably should bleep out the name of where he works later on, make a note of that to myself. But, so we're going to be starting this thing off, and I'm going to be directing everything because, again, he's driving. I'm not. So, Matthew, let's start off with UFC Orlando came and went. Jeremy Stephens beat the shit out of Josh Emmett, knocked him out, knocked him down after almost getting knocked out and knocked down himself. Well, he didn't almost get knocked down. He did get knocked down. Then he threw an illegal knee that may have hit, may not have hit, threw a bunch of elbows that may have been illegal, may not have been illegal. And then afterwards, he got down on his knees and begged for a title shot. And Josh Emmett went back to the hospital because he returned there because he was there earlier in my fantasy and scenario here. And now he's protesting. What did you think?
I mean, the real story, I think, from out of the fight was whether or not there was an illegal shot thrown by Stevens. And, you know, Emmett was clearly the down fighter, and he had the knee down, and Stevens threw a knee, and it seemed like it was a glancing shot to Emmett's head. And then a lot of people took, I guess, umbrage with that and thought it was kind of a tainted win for Stevens. It seemed like he was going to win the fight anyway. He had that hurt. But he really should have thrown the knee. Then there was a lot of talk about what the actual rule was and what state. And bottom line is, if you're not on your feet, you're a grounded fighter. And it was an illegal shot, whether it was glancing or not.
Yeah, I'm thinking the MMA is actually at the forefront of a new revolution in sports, because all sports have standardized rules and standardized fields and all that for the most part, except for baseball, the greatest American sport there is, has their own ground rules. So maybe MMA is now going to have ground rules for every fight. So wherever you go, they'll just decide before the show. Sometimes they decide halfway through the show what the rules are going to be, and they just say, go for it, guys. And if you're Jeremy Stephens and you're uneducated and you're the child of two meth heads, can you really expect this guy to know what's going on?
I'm not sure, but he talked about his conversation with the ref for the fight, and he claimed that Riata told him that if Emmett had one hand off the mat, he could throw whatever shirt he wants, kick, knees, or IV. But that's a total misinterpretation of that rule. And I wouldn't say Emmett got screwed, but there's definitely an issue there when that was an illegal shot. And in reality, Miller should have stopped and had a doctor check on, and that didn't happen. So he kind of got the right out of the stick, but at the same time, he was probably going to lose the fight, so I'm kind of mixed on that one.
Yeah, I mean, this might be the worst thing that's ever happened in the Orlando area. I'm not quite sure, but it's really bad. Almost as, but what was not bad was Jeremy Stephens declaring that because there are only three or four guys ahead of him, in the rankings, that means he should get a title shot.
Yeah, that sounds like wishful thinking to me.
Yeah,
he needs another win, for
sure. Yeah. Somebody that doesn't need another win is probably Jessica Andrade, who destroyed Tisha Torres in a battle of two lesbians whose lovers will be fighting for a world title shot later on. I don't know if this actually, that's not really true. No, it kind of is, almost. Jessica Andrade, in kind of a preview of this weekend's fight, fights like a man in there with women. Just ragdolling them, throw them around like it was nothing. Like she could do no wrong, just beat her up, manhandled her, en route to a victory.
Yeah, she was in there. I mean, Torres, one of the first round, was competitive on the feet. I think she just got kind of tired and Andrade took over, and the second and third was takedown, and just kind of helped muscle Torres, who really, for a strong, isn't an easy woman to muscle at all.
Yeah, it's very impressive there from Jessica Andrade. She's it actually makes you really appreciate how good Joanna Jędrzejczyk is, that she's able to beat Andrade the way that she did. Not that she murdered her, but she still clearly beat her. And, I mean, this woman's a, she's a beast. She's the 115-pound Brazilian female lesbian version of Khabib Nurmagomedov.
And, I mean, I would presume that she'd be, if Rose beats Andrade in that rematch, I would assume Andrade would get that next title shot at 115.
I can't imagine anybody else that would even come close to having a case besides Andrade. I mean, even if Joanna beats Rose, I understand there could be a rubber match, but still, I mean, the way she looks here, it seems like it's a matter of time before this little lady is a world champion. And I know that she appreciates being called little lady. Fun fact about Jessica Andrade. Also, fun fact, Ilir Latifi knocking out Open St. Preux, so I no longer have to pretend like Open St. Preux is a good fighter. And Max Griffin defeated Mike Perry, continuing the streak of every single person that was on the left side of the card, when you write it down, won their fight, at least how I wrote it. Interesting.
Yeah, Latifi looked good after the fight he called before me, which he's another guy calling for another one for a title shot, Jeremy Stevens. And then Mike Perry, man, he lost two in a row. I mean, he was kind of, I want to say, a rising star necessarily, UFC, but he cut some good promos, had personality, and had a couple wins under his belt. And he's just looked kind of flat in his last few fights. He was into Max Griffin, who's a guy nobody knows, and was, the biggest underdog on the entire card. Griffin just kind of dominated him standing and looked like a better striker.
Do you think that Mike Perry was helped or hurt by the fact that his corner person was his girlfriend and her advice was, break his leg, Mike?
I know Colby Covington was not a big fan of his corner woman's work. He called her, I think, and this is off the top of my head, not verbatim. I don't have notes as I'm driving across Cape Cod here, but a ratcheted, horse-faced woman should not be your corner or your coach.
It was, hey, Mike Perry, maybe having your ratchet horse-faced girlfriend as your head trainer is the smartest idea on planet Earth, but hey, when you're the product of cousins fucking in Ocala, Florida, how strong do your decision-making skills be?
Yeah, I mean, that is probably a little harsh, but...
Is it?
I think you can control your behavior and the things that come out of your mouth for most people. Maybe not you, but most people can control it. But you're kind of just born the way you look, and I don't go after that. I think it's kind of a lame attack, but I like to attack people on things they control, like details, like tattoos on their face. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, part of someone getting a tattoo on their face. That's a choice.
Although she could probably get, she could get braces.
Does she have bad teeth?
I don't know. I hear horse face. I'm thinking big teeth like a horse has.
I'm thinking Colby Covington was just trying to be a dick.
Well, that might be the case, although the man's never been known to stir up trouble or say things that are, you know, insulting, misogynistic, or possibly racist. I'm sure there's something
to say. Mike Perry's in for a horseshoe map.
That would be amazing. We should just have a whole gimmick where people just throw things at Colby Covington as revenge for things he said.
Yeah.
I can't wait till he pisses off someone from Alabama and they just shoot him. Actually, that would have worked in Florida also. Florida, by the way, a state where these idiots keep having guns and nobody dies. It's amazing. Brian Kelleher beat Henan Burrell as Henan Burrell's career continues to excel and just do really, really well ever since, I don't know, maybe USADA showed up. Or maybe it's just a coincidence that after he started getting drug tested, he starts sucking.
Yeah, I don't know if we're on that old or since, you know, the USADA issue, but he's certainly on the decline.
And he's an ugly, ugly man if we want to keep up with the childish insults. Marion Renault, who teaches high school in her free time, or actually I guess she fights in her free time, tapped out Sarah McMahon with a beautiful triangle choke in the second round, and then afterwards I guess she probably, she said something to her students, but I thought it was probably a little awkward because there she is standing in essentially her underwear having beat up somebody, telling kids, stay in school and study.
Well, she would know.
That's true. Alan Draban beat Ben Saunders in the what was Fight of the Night, and Sam Alvey at his light heavyweight debut, or at least his re-debut, he probably fought there once upon a time, beat Marcin Prechnyo, which of course is a very important victory for him in his career, and Hani Yaya tapped out Russell Doan, and a bunch of other guys fought that nobody really cares about. Anything else from UFC Orlando that we should remember and memorialize as before we move on?
No.
Okay, great. John Jones went before the California State Athletic Commission and told everybody, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I've been cheating on things for a long time, but I didn't cheat with these latest dick pills that you think I've been using. By the way, I have no idea how they got in there. It was my manager that did it. What's going on with John Jones? Is he the smartest man of all time?
No. Everybody even says he's in the top 10 smartest men of all time.
Well, I mean,
there were a lot of good moments in that hearing, and I recommend you watch it, just because it's like a comedy where you get these commissions, and I'll give California some credit because they're more put together than Nevada, it seems, on the surface. But they had one old guy.
Sorry, I can't hear you. Sorry, I can't hear you. I just realized I don't have my hearing aid in, so I can't hear anything right now. Sorry.
About an hour into it, that's exactly what the guy said. I don't have my hearing aid, and I haven't heard everything he said. Then he would dabble on Stephen A. Smith for some reason. Then there's another one on the commission who's just great rehashing everything Jones has done in the past. She said, is it true that you were given a Bentley by the UFC and crashed around the phone pole? And John Jones is like, yes. And then she brings up the hit and run and just the other drug failure he had for the cocaine, just everything, just running him through everything. And she didn't really have to because they're just talking about this one failure. In theory, that those previous transgressions shouldn't even affect this, but she felt the need to go there. And then after that, she brought up the fact that he was supposed to take some, like, USADA forms or tests or watch videos. And he totally buries his management team headed by Val Sitala there and said, oh, yeah, I never watched or did any of that. I'm going to be super honest and open with you. My management did that for me. And you can see Malky in the background just slump down in his chair and, like, shrivel up. And then she shortly says after that, wouldn't you think it would be a good idea to get new management? And he says, yeah, I thought about that. Just kidding. Like, it was so many, like, that it's totally worth watching.
Yeah, John Jones is a great man. He showed genuine sociopathic tendencies by lamenting the fact and acting like he was a victim when he drove around high on drugs, hit a woman who was pregnant, ran away from the scene of the crime, ran back to the scene of the crime, picked up his drugs and cash, and then complained of, hey, I paid this woman almost $1 million. What do you expect from me? Like, I'm getting ripped off here. The man is a total victim. He's a victim of everything. People give him dick pills from gas stations. He just, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a dumb man who's just always in the wrong place at the wrong time. Total coincidence that every 6 months, John Jones does something really, really stupid.
It was also, they mentioned the drag racing, the drop of everything. And it was funny, too, because earlier in the hearing, he said he had signed a non-disclosure agreement with the pregnant woman he to. And then, later on, he got flustered and revealed that paid her out $1 million. Like, it's so awesome when he's put on the spot and has to answer questions about the fly, because he talks it up every time. And I remember back to, I think, Helwani was asking him a question about his first failure, and he was talking about how, oh, yeah, I got the minimum possible suspension or whatever for the estrogen blocker. And Helwani's like, no, you got the full year. That was the full suspension. He's like, really? It was? And he kept going on and on in the media that he got the least punishment. And he didn't even know he got the most severe 1 year punishment for that particular type of drug. Just awesome. And then I'm glad he's back. Back in the news.
If he keeps this up, I see bright things in his future. He might be presidential material someday. We never really know. There's a Nape lawsuit dismissed. What was that about?
Did you, or before that, did you see him, feuding with Misha Tate on Twitter?
That's right. Misha Tate says that now she has lost faith in John Jones.
I hung up on you.
Yeah, you and everybody else in the world. As I was saying, Misha Tate has finally had enough now, after multiple car accidents, multiple performance-enhancing drug failures, multiple recreational drug test positive. Now she's finally not a fan of John Jones.
Yeah, it took her a while to get smartened up to the business, I guess.
Then again, you look how long she was with Brian Caraway, so I guess it takes her a long time to realize, wait a second, this isn't right. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And then John Jones shot back at her, you'll see, I don't quit when things get hard. Oh my God, what an asshole.
He's awesome.
She didn't want to, he's basically insulting her because she lost her last couple of fights and decided to retire.
Yeah, no, John Jones is a special man. But moving on, is this a Nate Diaz lawsuit was dismissed?
Yeah, you'd be better at talking about that than me. I guess the issue was there was his management team, team, was suing him money from that they should have been paid for UFC 202 with Conor. And the issue was that the lawsuit was filed in Texas, but Diaz never fought there and doesn't live in Texas. So they might move the lawsuit to another state. He's not out of the woods yet, but essentially this initial lawsuit from his former manager has been dismissed for now.
Yeah, this is a really dumb one because I don't know what lawyer would file this. How could you possibly be this dumb? This is like, when they say law school 101 or your first day of law school, literally, the first thing they teach you is, do you have jurisdiction? Does Texas have an interest in what's going on here? Not like, this is not even just basic. It's the most basic of all basics. I can't imagine screwing this up. Then again, it is somebody hired by Nate Diaz on a verbal contract for probably 6 or 7 figures. So what more can you say? Speaking of Diaz brothers, Nick's coming back, not coming back. Dana probably thinks he's going to come back. Is he going to come back?
I think a lot of it will depend on how desperate the UFC is for a big fight. Nick is still a big draw, but what's going to happen with John Jones? Is Brock going to come back? How many times is Conor going to fight this year? No Nick will for a lot of, and if he gets his price, he'll probably come back and fight for the right fight. who knows who it would be. It could be GSP again. It could be a middleweight fight. There's some options there, and I think he would draw well just because he's a Diaz brother and off that suspension. He made a lot of press then. A couple hundred thousand signed a petition to get Obama to overrule the sentence from the Nevada State Athletic Commission. There's a fan base there that will pay to see him. It's just a matter of how desperate the UFC is and how much they're willing to pay him, I think.
See, I think Nick is the kind of guy that could be sued in Texas, because you could argue, I don't really know where Nick Diaz is ever, so maybe he is in Texas right now, and therefore we have jurisdiction over him. By the way, Brock, Brock is in WWE still. He's going to be main eventing WrestleMania when he'll lose to Roman Reigns. But he's been making pictures out there, making the rounds, took a picture with Dana White. Dana had his typical Dana White shit-eating grin that says, I know something you don't know. And then he told everybody, I think Brock's coming back. Do you think Brock's coming back to the UFC?
Dana said there's a very, very, very good chance that Brock will be coming in. And you know what? Honestly, I don't know. He's 41 now. It depends what the money offer is, and he's going to go to the hospital like he always does. This isn't the first time Brock has played both sides against each other. When his contract was up before, he showed up at a UFC event. He's walked out on the WWE and over contract stuff, and he's going to try and get paid, which is what he's been doing, you know, the last 6 or 7 years. So,
do you think that if the Undertaker is at cage side for something, that will mean that he is or isn't coming in? Could he fight the Undertaker with Ariel Helwani as a special guest referee?
I would pay to see that. Like in an MMA fight? Wrestling?
No, in a real fight, yeah.
I don't see that happening.
What they should do is they should make it a kickboxing fight because The Undertaker is the best pure striker in wrestling history, and then it would be fair.
He does have a good go-go plata.
There you go, you know, or the devil's, whatever he calls a mouthpiece or something. I don't know, the devil's jock strap.
What do you think Brock will do?
I think that Brock will fight again. I think he fights this November in Madison Square Garden.
Well, he's going to get back into that USADA pool, too. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Essentially, when you're supposed to. You're supposed to, like, if you're suspended, get back into the pool entire suspension. And he said he was retired, so I was always under the impression he had stayed in the pool for about 6 months. And then, like, a month or two before Mania last year, he got out of the pool and hasn't been back in and hasn't been getting tested unless they kept it secret or they're going to claim they kept it secret. I don't know, but there could be a little shenanigans going on there.
Look, where there's a lot of money involved, why not? I mean, he's just fight either New York or maybe Vegas. We've seen Vegas before where judges just say things like, hey, Floyd, you don't need to go to jail for a while because you're going to make a lot of money for everybody, and that's somehow considered a justifiable reason to not go to jail because you're going to make a lot of money. So why not here? Brock could just be like, look, judge, following the previous precedent that's been set, it's been shown that if you can make a lot of money for everybody, you don't have to follow the rules.
I mean, the other factor, too, is the big talk, a year ago was Jon Jones versus Brock Lesnar. Jon Jones even mentioned it in a post-fight, like, promo after he beat Cormier. So, with Jones possibly on the shelf, that was something we didn't even talk about. How long is Jones going to be out? Is it going to be 2 years? Could it be 4 years? I don't know how enticing it is to go back to UFC. Does Brock have a huge fight on the horizon? I mean, biggest one, I don't even know, maybe Cormier moving up to heavyweight. Is that something that's going to make Brock want to come back and do, you know, 1.5 million buys? I don't know.
It's interesting that they had that idea of Jones versus Lesnar, and then one of them failed for steroids while the other one is still suspended for steroids, or performance-enhancing drugs, if we want to be politically correct these days. And then so they just said, let's just do Cormier and Miocic. We got, like, the B-team version of what they were promising us last year.
Yeah, but it's like Miocic beats Cormier. Is Brock going to want to fight Miocic? I can't imagine that. Like, that seems like a really bad matchup for Brock. He just wants to come in and get that payday and get beat up and say forget it. But I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. He's gonna play both sides and do what he thinks is best for his pocketbook. But I have no idea who's going to offer him what. It's hard to say.
Look, it's a world where Chuck Liddell it wants to fight Tito Ortiz and Bellator, and people think that this could possibly happen, even though we all know it's not going to happen. But now we've acknowledged that it might happen. And they could, even if they don't do it there, maybe they'll do it in the UFC on a pay-per-view that will now be airing on Amazon, because Amazon now airs UFC pay-per-views, and that means that Amazon is that much closer to acquiring everything the UFC broadcasts, just like I've long predicted that they would.
Yeah. That was interesting. So, you can buy pay-per-views through Amazon Prime. You don't have to be a member. The price is the same, $65, whatever it is. But, people have speculated maybe Amazon would get into that bidding war for UFC programming, but everything that's on Fox, essentially. And, this is obviously a sign that there's been some communication between UFC and Amazon. So maybe it's a sign of things to come, but there's definitely a little smoke there. Maybe not fire yet, but certainly smoke.
Well, there's definitely, look, there can't be smoke without fire. That's how the saying goes, all right? Otherwise, it's just dry ice, or I'm smoking a doobie. Although even that's got fire to it. So I guess this is the halfcredit.com chemistry class. Anyways, fights that could be airing then on Amazon would be Adesanya, who's getting a lot of attention, versus Vettori, okay. Edson Barbosa versus Kevin Lee is going to be taking place in April 21st in Atlantic City. That's a really damn good fight. Who you got?
Which one?
Barbosa and Lee, the one that people care about.
I'm kind of going with Lee. I think he's going to be able to get it to the down-and-out wrestle. I know Barbosa's takedown defense is, but I think Lee got some wrestling and he'll be able to grind it out on the mat.
What about Jacare Souza versus Calvin Gastelum? What do you got for that one? Yeah, exactly.
That's hard.
That's hard. Let's do it some other day then. We don't need to spend time on. There you go, Gastelum. Amanda Nunes, who's a lesbian, is going to be fighting Raquel Pennington, who's also a lesbian, who's engaged to Tisha Torres, who just lost. So I'm thinking that that means that they need to have Nina Ansaroff, who is Nunes's bottom, take on Tisha Torres in the undercard of that title fight there at UFC 224, where I guess it's probably technically the headliner at this point.
Yeah, I like Nunes in that song.
And then at UFC 225 here in Chicago, Illinois, little baby Pettis will be taking on Joseph Benavidez. And let's just go over what we talked about a little bit last night, because that's what we've been doing the whole time here. It's deja vu for both of us. And that is Joseph Benavidez has only lost to two people in his life. And he's the greatest fighter to never hold a title, isn't he?
That was my claim. You kind of made fun of me, but I think I kind of sold you on it. The two guys he lost to, one is Dominic Cruz, two and 20 back in, like, WEC, and obviously Cruz is the bigger fighter at 135, he's in the flyweight now. And then the other one, DJ, lost twice to DJ. It's like, if DJ didn't exist, he'd be the greatest flyweight of all time in that conversation, I would think.
Yeah.
Done anybody except those two guys. Like, consistently and soundly. It's not, he beat Cejudo, and if you look at his record, which I don't have in front of me right now, it's pretty impressive. He's won five or six straight and just can't get another title shot because he lost to DJ twice.
Yeah, it's, he's a hell of a fighter, and I'm guessing old little Pettis is going to be in for a bit of a problem. And then rounding out our fight news that came out, UFC debuts in Chile on May 19th. We didn't talk about that.
No. I got distracted and we were running long.
But that's a really important date in the history of the world, May 19th.
Ponzinibbio has not been booked on that show, and he's from Chile.
Maybe Kane will be.
So you would assume he would end up on that card. I know they announced a couple fights with a couple South American fighters, but nothing.
He's Chilean. I thought he was from Argentina.
thought it was from Chile. I could be wrong.
They're all the same. They're all the same.
They're neighbors.
They're all the same poor countries that play soccer, and they're really good at it. But what we didn't talk about, by the way, and we cannot forget this, is Marlon Moraes versus Jimmy Rivera will be taking place on June 1st in Utica, New York. And the important thing about that is that Matt Hamill wants to fight in Utica, and I say we give it to the little waterhead.
What does waterhead mean?
It's a term for retards. Because their head is kind of soft and filled with water. It's a term.
I've never heard that.
Window licker also works.
38 years. Yeah.
The window licking waterhead Matt Hamill could fight there in Utica. And I say, give it to the guy. He needs something, right?
I say, find a way to get John Jones back for that show. It's his hometown. Do the Hamill-John Jones rematch that everyone's been clamoring for.
You
can erase that loss from his record.
And we can see John Jones cheat to beat up a retard. Always a good thing to happen. In MMA history today, what happened?
Ronda Rousey decaps and Gano in 16 seconds.
Yeah.
With a weird armbar.
Yeah, that was a good move by her. And we have
that was only 3 years ago.
I know, man. The world's fucking changing on us. And then UFC 222 is this weekend. We'll quickly run through this one because, whatever. Chris Cyborg in the main event takes on Yana Kuniskaya. Kuniskaya follows the pattern of every woman that Cyborg fights in the UFC. She's a bantamweight who's not even part of the company, and now she's moving up. But she held a title. Is she going to die?
Eventually, she will die, but it won't be as a result of this fight. The referee will step in and stop it before she is deceased.
Do you think that she makes it 5 minutes?
Yes.
Do you think she makes it 10 minutes?
No.
Fair enough. And
knockout. TKO says around. Cyborg.
I can't disagree with that other than to say I think it'll be the first round. And remember, this is Chris Cyborg, a woman so scary that whereas I love Al Iaquinta for his saying, I would not fight Khabib Nurmagomedov, that man is terrifying. Meanwhile, Cyborg is so scary that Jermaine Durandamé, who had the world championship, said, fuck it, I'd rather not be champion than fight this scary bitch. So that's how scary steroid Cyborg is. That happens. Look. She got the appropriate name of Cyborg. When you mix a human being with science, that's a cyborg. That's clearly what she is. She's going to hurt Yana Kuniskaya. I just hope that this thing doesn't go too long. Just make sure that it's not Yamasaki or Steve Mazzagatti refereeing. Whatever happened to Steve Mazzagatti and his beautiful mustache that one time?
I think that this is the one time the government did their job appropriately.
Damn
right.
Finally
got him out of there. And the chick with the long braid, I don't see her anymore either.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think eventually they got sick of Dana talking crap about them.
Oh, well, somebody that Dana does not talk crap about because he comes to fight every time is Frankie Edgar fighting Brian Ortega. Ortega is the undefeated phenom, if you will, from the California area with a body that looks like he's never used steroids, even though he's been, pop positive for Dristanolol, which is a moron steroid to use. Will Brian Ortega be able to pull it off and finish a man that's never been finished?
Yes, I think he will. I think this is going to be a changing of the guard fight. Edgar's, I want to say 35 or something, has been in all these wars, five-round fights, title fights. He's fought Jose Aldo for 10 rounds. He's fought Ray Maynard in those wars. Yes, this will be the fight where we see, the older guy lose to the younger guy who's on the rise.
How will T-City do it?
Rear naked choke in the third.
Well, my official prediction is Frankie Edgar by decision. I think if T-City catches him, it'll be by triangle choke in the third. I will say this for Ortega. He has a very weird career in that all of his early fights were decisions, and then he gets to the UFC, and he finishes everybody he's faced, including multiple finishes late in the third round of fights that he's been losing. He was losing to Thiago Tavares, and then he knocks him out with a minute to go. He was losing to to Clay Guida, and he knocks him out with about a minute to go. He's really got that mental fortitude that probably comes from the confidence of knowing you've got great chemicals flowing through your veins. A man that annoys me because I saw him on some countdown specials. There was Sean O'Malley. He's been hyped up. Dana White fighting a fighter crap show or whatever. He's got kind of a look to him. He's got like a big old Jufro, lots of colorful tattoos. He's got a personality, good fighting style. Personally though, I find him annoying as hell because he seems like he's everything of the modern millennial. Just. He's playing video games. He's talking to people. He's like, "Yeah, dude, this is awesome." Like, I've never seen a guy playing on Twitch or whatever, talking to his buddies, and he's saying like, "Yeah, no, like the UFC cameras, they're here right now, man. It's really cool." I'm just like, "Oh, you're an annoying little kid." I don't like kids.
He might be. I don't know. How old is he? Early 20s?
Yeah, he's in his 20s.
Yeah, he is a kid.
Yeah, I know. I think he should keep his mouth shut. Children should be seen, not heard. What should not be seen, though, is Stefan Struve versus Andrei Arlovski, because this is terrifying. What are these two men doing? Why is the UFC letting it happen?
Well, it's funny. Originally, this fight was supposed to be the semi-main event. We never even mentioned that. Originally, this card was going to be headlined by Edgar versus Max Holloway for the featherweight title. Holloway got hurt, so now Edgar's got Ortega. They added Cyborg on short notice, which probably isn't a good idea for her weight cut. And then after that happened, they moved Struve and Arlovski down the card, rightfully so. These guys have a lot of knockout losses between the two of them, and someone's probably going to get knocked out in this one.
Yeah, it'll be ugly. No one cares. Kat Zingano takes on Caitlin Vieira. Caitlin Vieira, undefeated, 9-0 from Brazil, in her 20s, therefore she's considered a prospect. Kat Zingano, most known for this day 3 years ago, getting tapped up by Ronda Rousey.
Can't argue with you there.
Ashley Yoder takes on the debuting Mackenzie Dern. I know that Dern is your girl. She's got a great body and even better jiu-jitsu skills.
I learned about her, I think, when she beat Gabby Garcia in that jiu-jitsu tournament. That's when I first started hearing a lot about her. Then I saw some of her fights on Axis or whatever. And she's still pretty green. I think she's 5-0. She's had trouble making weight at 115 a couple times and even fought at flyweight in her last couple fights. So it'll be interesting to see if she can make 115 and how she does on a bigger stage. She's only got 5 fights under her belt, and her striking is pretty
awful.
You know, elementary still. She has like a big right hand. Like she's rocked people with it, but she leaves herself open a lot. There's not a lot of defense there. So Yoder's not a great fighter. I think she's like 5-3 and 0-2 in the UFC or something. So they're giving Dern a fighter she should be able to beat. It's not like she's being thrown to the wolves. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I would pick Dern in this fight, but it'll be interesting to see if she can step up in a big stage like this.
How does she win?
Some sort of submission. We'll say rear naked choke again.
I say armbar. Benil Dariush versus Alexander Hernandez. Do you care? No. John Dodson versus Pedro Munhoz. Do you care?
No.
CB Dalloway versus Hector Lombard?
Yes, I care about that. Hector Lombard is not good at fighting anymore. USADA has hampered his career greatly. He's 40 now. And I think he's lost like 5 of his last 6. CB Dalloway claims his back is really bad from falling down an elevator shaft at a hotel, yet he's still able to fight in the UFC. So I'm curious to see this fight, because if you're CB Dalloway, you should not be winning fights in the UFC if you have a serious back condition that you're suing for damages because of it. And if he loses to Hector Lombard, it's really sad.
I like the idea that CB Dalloway, it's appropriate. For some reason, it feels right that his career would be impacted, if not ended, by falling down an elevator shaft in Cleveland. What a great way for Stevie Dalloway's career to end. Speaking of somebody else's career's ending, Mike Pyle's going to retire after he faces Zach Otto. Do you have any fond memories of Mike Pyle?
Best fighter in the gym of all time and the best mullet of all time.
Brian Caraway, he's not having a good go of it lately.
Yeah, he used to date Misha Tate. That didn't work out well, and she's pregnant now with another man's baby. And he, I believe, was ranked like fourth or fifth in the bantamweight division, but then didn't fight for over a year and is now dropped down to seven and is fighting against guy no one of on, I think, is it on Fight Pass or is it on FS1?
I believe that is on Fight Pass.
Yeah, top spot for like a top 10 ranked guy to be on Fight Pass, but that's what happens when no one likes you.
Oh, don't I know it. I keep getting relegated to Fight Pass. And then quickly wrapping up the show, a chick who's trying to become a dude for the second year in a row beat a bunch of other chicks in wrestling matches in Texas. Is this? Are you surprised that this happened in Texas and not Florida?
That's so weird because you talk about, you know, taking testosterone and steroids, and it's essentially what's happening with this woman. She's taking, you know, male testosterone to become, you know, a man, which is fine, I don't care, but at the same time, you shouldn't be competing against this woman because that's, you know, a prohibited substance for women to have in their system. And to her credit, she does want to wrestle with the boys, with the men, but it's not allowed in Texas because you got to fight as the gender you were born. So it's a weird situation. More and more of it's going to crop up, and I don't exactly know what the solution is to it because it's such a new thing.
I'm kind of surprised that that was the law. Like, I understand that, like, Texas may say that the girls wrestle with the girls and the boys wrestle with the boys, but somebody years ago must have thought, and we're going to define a girl is by your DNA. Like, really? Like, 10 years ago, was this really something anybody thought about? Somebody's going, well, what if a chick wants to pretend to be a boy? What do we do then? It's not really something.
I mean, it's Texas.
Yeah, I could see, like, Oregon or something, but not Texas. I don't know if this was in Texas or Florida. But I'm going to guess Florida. A man stole meatballs out of his neighbor's next-door garage.
Yeah, that's true. And then the cops showed up, and he still had the sauce all over his face, so they arrested him.
Yeah.
The fact he had the evidence on his body, I guess. Yeah.
Are we sure that this was, I don't know, that this man that ate the meatballs wasn't perhaps a cartoon character? Maybe he was Bugs Bunny or something, getting caught with the evidence all over his face?
This was a human who makes bad choices. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why balls in their garage. It seems to be a weird place to. I'm out my son's preschool now, by the way, walking back and forth down the sidewalk like a psycho, yelling into my phone about stolen. And people are looking. Yeah, but why do you cook meatballs in your garage? I don't know. It's almost like you're trying to tempt your hungry neighbor by
this
doing that.
This is entrapment. That's what this was. It was entrapment. The man couldn't help it. He was just walking by like Yogi Bear, and he sniffed that picnic basket full of meatballs and couldn't help it. Just like the woman who was picked up by the cops and had crack on her and a crack pipe and a birthday card, decided to hide it all by shitting in the backseat of the cop car and smothering it all in the shit. And she thought that she could hide the birthday card in particular in the giant glob of human feces.
I guess I'd kind of give that woman some credit. It's impressive she was able to do that on the spot under such intense pressure of multiple police officers having guns around her. I don't know if I could pull that off. Like, I couldn't do that right now if I had to.
Look, it was a good thing it wasn't heroin, because those opiates will stop you up. You'll be congested. There's no way you're going to be able to get it out of your system then. So good for her for doing the right drug. If you're going to do that's a lesson for all you kids out there. If you're gonna shit in the backseat of a cop car to hide evidence, make sure you do crack and not heroin.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Should be on a t-shirt.
We're going to start selling those t-shirts here at halfguarded.com very soon, everybody. Shit yourself with crack, not heroin. Everyone knows that. I mean, it's kind of like fall forward, spring forward, fall back for daylight savings time stuff. A stitch in time saves nine. And use crack if you want to shit yourself in a cop car.
Totally.
And finally, to close, in Florida, a man who's in his 60s, probably has dementia or something like that. I think he's in his 60s, maybe 70s. He's an old white guy. I'm sure he's white as well. Was arrested, but let go right away because he was shooting his gun at – he was doing target practice in his apartment, and he shot at some books that he had marked with a red X. And this will be a shock to him and maybe other people, but when you shoot at your wall – sometimes the bullets go through the wall, and his next-door neighbors got the shit scared out of him at about 6 in the morning.
Yeah, apparently he made, like, a target, like, on his bookcase with these books and drew, like, an X on them. And the neighbors called because gunshot bullets were going through their wall. Luckily, nobody was hit, but they called the police. The cops show up, and they see the bookcase with all these holes in it. And they're like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have a gun anymore.
And yet he's free on bail already. Because it's Florida.
And they probably didn't take his guns away. Hey, did you see, speaking of that, Trump says he doesn't believe in due process and we should just take people's guns?
I mean, really, at this point, I'm not surprised that Donald Trump has spoken out against the most fundamental right, maybe of all, due process from the government taking away your rights. Of course. I don't understand it.
I was watching that, and it was because all those congressmen's faces, like, everyone's jaw drops. Like, the Democrats couldn't believe it, the Republicans couldn't believe it, like, empty cup heads off. He's like, I think you just take their guns, don't wait for trial. Like, wow.
Yeah, Dianne Feinstein was sitting there, and she must have been thinking, huh, never really thought about just going that route, but all right. And I like one Republican congressman or senator said, like, you know, I don't think the Trump really meant that. You know, he's not a legal scholar. To which I would reply, you don't really need to be a legal scholar to know that due process is important. Like, I didn't, it's not like before I went to law school, I thought, hey, just do whatever you want. Government, just do shit for crazy. You don't need to, like, give a reason. Just do it.
It was shocking because it was, like, the most, like, extreme take on gun control you've ever heard of. Like, no Democrats ever even pushed for that, I don't think.
No. Like, at least the Democrats were like, well, if you're crazy or if you're, like, at least their thing seems to be if you're, like, on this list that says you're crazy, then you don't get to have a gun or whatever. But it's like, at least there's a list.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand Trump's point. He was arguing that, you know what, it could take a long time for a trial, and if somebody's dangerous, maybe they shouldn't have a gun if it's a gun-related charge or something. Like, I kind of get what he was saying. Maybe these people shouldn't have guns because they did something wrong. But, again, you're innocent until proven guilty. It's weird.
But here's the thing. If you're arrested, they take your gun. You don't get to keep your – like, they can take your gun even if you haven't been convicted. Like, due process could – at the very least, you should have to say why you're taking a gun. If you don't have any due process, it's just, hey, you, we're taking your gun. What? Why? You'll find out later. Show up to court. Then again, this from a guy who has been – who's out there and is like, hey, this guy in your staff, he's been accused of beating women. And Trump's like, hey, innocent until proven guilty. Everybody's going to have their day in court. And now it's like, hey, what do you need this due process for? Fuck it.
Yeah, when he's going to talk off the cuff, it's pretty awesome.
It's always an adventure.
Like John Jones. It is John Jones-esque.
Exactly. That's why he's a great man, and he will be our president for the next 20 years at least, because he's going to live forever. And after all, if you don't need due process, what do we need elections for either? They're just getting in the way of the inevitable. Anyways, everybody, that was MMA and stuff here at HalfGuarded.com, a much more truncated program than usual, but a good one nonetheless, and we can only hope that they're all recorded, otherwise we're never doing this again. So, Matt, any final words?
No, I think that's it for me. I've got to get my son, and hopefully we'll be back next week.
We will. Bye, everyone.
Get up, cocksucker, because it's all over. Listen, we had a rough couple of months. Fucking Katrina's cousin Maria, the other one, Puerto Rico, Houston, fucking Florida. Listen, it's been tough up to now. The earthquake in Mexico, you know, the White House, whoever the fuck is going on. But it don't matter. They want to shoot, it's time for us to fucking shoot, cocksuckers. They want to get down and dirty. Don't forget who the fuck we are, you understand me? We're the baddest motherfuckers out there. You send a message to that fucking North Korean, he's gonna be sniffing my dick and sucking my asshole. That's the focus. We're going to North Korea in like a year. It's gonna be an island. It's gonna glow in the dark. You know why? Because we're Americans, not suckers. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Stop with the gun control. They're selling more guns than ever the last 3 days. Stop with the fucking whining. Stop with the Russians on Facebook. I don't give a fuck. Worry about yourself. Keep your eyes open and get the fuck off Snapchat and fucking Twitter, sucker. Stay black.